Good evening, this is Gary Black with the KUAC Newsminer Update. Attendance is up at this week's 26th Biennial Alaska Miners Association Conference in Fairbanks. That's according to Association Executive Director Deantha Crockett, who points to renewed enthusiasm that she credits to an industry rebound.
We went through about 4 years of decline of our industry. It was very much related to commodity prices and the fact that there just wasn't a lot of capital worldwide to invest, particularly in exploration projects or the expansion of existing projects. So the industry wasn't growing, if you will. In fact, it was declining.
Mining policy under the Trump administration is another factor. Crockett says administration support for deregulation and generally industry-friendly policies, in addition to upticks in commodity prices, have energized the mining sector.
There is a refreshing change in the way the federal government views how the regulatory process overall works. And our federal government and our agencies that regulate mines have begun to take a look and say, are our regulations appropriate?
Crockett says that's encouraged investors to take a closer look at Alaska mining projects, but cautions that legislators' failure to address the state deficit discourages investment.
Even if our operations are making money, the companies worldwide that look at investing in Alaska or look at spending money in current operations still are a bit concerned about the fact that Alaska doesn't have its fiscal situation resolved.
Yesterday's AMA conference agenda included an update on the proposed Ambler Road project. An Alaska Economic Development and Export Authority official told attendees the industrial access road to the Ambler Mining District in northwest Alaska hinges on a public-private partnership with mining companies. KUAC's Tim Ellis has more.
Jeffrey San Juan told a room full of miners that if federal agencies give their go-ahead to the 211-mile road to the Ambler Mining District, the Alaska Economic Development and Export Authority, or ADA, will build it one phase at a time. And he says ADA will require mining companies interested in developing the district's resources to help pay for each phase.
We're planning on financing that initially so that we can get any mines that sign up to pay the financing for the road so that they can start to get their mines up and running and provide for that financing to build the road itself.
San Juan is ADA's Senior Infrastructure Development Finance Officer, and he says the first phase of the Ambler Mining District Industrial Access Project calls for construction of a one-lane, seasonally accessible road from the Dalton Highway to the district just east of the village of Ambler. ADA estimates that phase would cost $280 million and would be paid for through a public-private partnership in which ADA would pay cash and possibly proceeds from bond issues, and mining companies that want to use the road would pay user fees or tolls.
ADA is not planning on constructing any road without any commitments from mines to pay back the toll. I assure you that ADA is not going to put the state in a position where we're going to build something that doesn't have any contracts in place.
San Juan says if more companies find additional deposits in the mining district and they commit to paying for use of the road to develop those resources, ADA would improve it. He says phase two would make the road usable year-round at a cost of about $320 million. Phase three would call for further improvements to widen the road to two lanes for another $380 million.
Best case scenario is we get to phase three where we have several mines operating and we have to expand that road to have multiple trucks running year-round.
San Juan says four major deposits of mainly gold and copper have so far been identified along a 75-mile mineralized zone within the mining district. He says several other sites also show promise. He says the road would be used only for mining-related traffic and otherwise would be closed to the public. He said in an interview after his talk that ADA officials recently decided to bury a fiber-optic cable along the route. It would be used for surveillance cameras that would monitor traffic in response to concerns voiced in public hearings about the road being open to others, including hunters.
We basically decided, because of the public comments, to go ahead and include it, and it would provide a community benefit to potentially the schools, the clinics, and also some of the mines that hopefully gets developed out there.
San Juan says the road project is now being reviewed by four federal agencies for rights of way and wetland and bridge permits, and because the route passes through the gates of the Arctic Preserve. He says ADA expects the feds to issue any day now a draft document on the scoping process, which includes public hearing testimony and input from industry, scientists, and other stakeholders. He says Interior Department officials recently said they're considering fast-tracking release of the final version of the document as early as this summer as part of the agency's new policy for completing the Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS, process more quickly.
We heard from them that there is a possibility of an accelerated schedule because of what's happening down in D.C. and the Department of Interior as far as moving EISs at a faster pace.
Federal officials say a final decision on the project is expected in early 2020. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Finally tonight, about 40 Tenenbaum Middle School students walked out of class Wednesday, adding their voice to the chorus of school children speaking out against gun violence. They gathered in front of the school's main entrance as parents were lining up in their cars and trucks ready to pick up students at the end of the day. Tenenbaum Middle School is the sixth school in the Fairbanks North Starboro School District at which students staged a walkout. For more on tonight's stories or others, visit KUAC.org or Newsminer.com. I am Gary Black.